You're listening to the Hudson Valley Region Podcast, an official podcast of the New York City Church of Christ, teaching and worshiping God in the beautiful New York State counties of Orange and Rockland.
You know, this week is the 4th of July on Tuesday, 4th of July, and the 4th of July is known as Independence Day because it's the day that we declared our independence from Britain. However, it's one thing to say you're free, and it's another thing to actually be free. And we declared independence, but we had to fight from 1776 to 1781 to really get freedom. And I think that sometimes we can be bold and can declare that we're free when actually we're still in chains. And so we have to be careful about that. And the great thing is that in Christ, He declares our freedom for us. And He sets us free. He does both. He did all the fighting on the cross. He showed His power through the resurrection, and He declares us free, and we can be free indeed through Jesus. And that's really what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about the freedom that we have in Christ, and I want to talk about maintaining that freedom, because it's one thing to be free, but then you also have to keep your freedom. You have to maintain your freedom. And that's really true spiritually. They have to maintain our freedom in Christ. And so if you look over in Galatians chapter 5, there's this really great verse here in Galatians 5 that talks about our freedom that we have in Christ. And it talks about some specific things that we can do to maintain our freedom. It talks about walking in the Spirit. And, you know, I look at this passage, and it's one of my favorite passages on freedom. But even more than that, it's just one of my favorite passages in the Bible. I love how it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, and it talks about our freedom that we have in Christ. So look here in verse 13. You guys with me? Okay, Galatians 5, verses 13 through 25. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Or as some translations say, since we live by the Spirit, let us walk in step with the Spirit. And that really is how we maintain freedom in Christ. We maintain freedom by keeping in step with the Spirit. But the great thing about Paul is he just doesn't throw out that idea out there. Walk with the Spirit, keep in step with the Spirit, without giving you some practicals of how to do that. And I appreciate Paul for just giving us some practicals of how we can think about this and how we can go about doing this. And in this verse, you might find more. I find at least three practicals of how to maintain our freedom in the Spirit by walking in the Spirit. Three ways to walk in the Spirit. You guys with me? All right, we'll get real practical with this. How do you walk in the Spirit? Number one, it's about relationships. If you have close relationships with other people in Christ, love other people, then that will help you to be free in the Spirit. And it will help you to maintain your freedom in the Spirit. Verses 13 through 15, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you'll be destroyed by each other. And so he says here, to maintain your freedom, to walk in the Spirit, one of the things you need to look at, it's your own relationships that you have with other people. How are your relationships in the church? How are your friendships? How close are you to other people? Do you have other people in your life? Are there people that you've opened up your life to and just said, you know, whatever you see, feel free to talk to me about it? That's a good practice to have, just to give people a little card, carte blanche, whatever you see, feel free to talk about what you see in my life. And that will help you to maintain your walk with the Spirit, because you have other people helping you to walk in step with the Spirit. And it also talks about here the need to love our neighbors. You know, we need to love each other in the church. We need to look out beyond the church and just love everyone around us. You know, the great thing is in the church we have some security here, and we have some love here. And people outside are looking for that kind of thing. I think about even the Vacation Bible School that we have coming up. You know, it's great that we have something great for our children to be a part of. But there are so many people that would love to send their children to something where they're going to be able to learn the Scriptures, be in a great environment with other kids, to have fun together, to learn the Scriptures together. We need to share that with people around us. I think about the camps. I think about Louise talking about camp, Mackenzie talking about camp. It's great that we have that for our kids. But there's so many other people that would love to be able to send their kids to a place that's safe, where they're going to be able to learn about God. And these are things that we have, we get to enjoy, but we shouldn't enjoy them selfishly. We should share what we have with other people. And I know that especially with families around us, we have a lot of families in the Hudson Valley. You know, when things start happening with your kids, and I can say this from experience, when things start happening with your kids, it shakes your whole foundation. And you'll go anywhere to find an answer. And it's exactly when those things start happening with the kids that people start turning to God. They start turning to the Bible. And then that's when we need to be there for them, to let them know that, you know, we can give you help here, okay? Maybe not me personally, but certainly the Craigs, they can give you help. And it's great to have people like them around where they can give you the help, you know, or the Sanders or others that we have, you know. But we need to understand that so many people outside of this pavilion right here are looking for exactly what we already have, and share it with people around us, and be confident in sharing it with people, because they really are looking for something just like this. So look at your own relationships in the church. Look at your relationships with people around you. And how are you doing in that way? And are you walking humbly with other people? Are you loving other people? And there's this also this important phrase right here. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you'll be destroyed by each other. There should be nothing like that in the church, ever. No biting, no devouring. That's what happens in the world. No gossiping, no bullying. That happens in the world. This is a safe environment. We come out of the world to be in this family. There should never be anything like that in the church. And if we allow that to occur in the church, it just says you will be destroyed, because it's not holy, it's not godly, it's not right. And so we don't put up with that. We don't allow that, because it's not walking by the Spirit. If we want to walk in the Spirit, then we got to maintain that walk. And maintaining that walk means, how are your relationships with other people? How are your relationships with the people outside the church? And no biting, no devouring, that is not allowed. You know, I really appreciate the people that I see in the church, that they just serve humbly. They love humbly. The Saturday before last, my wife and I had the opportunity to visit Nietzsche and Daisy. I know many of you know Nietzsche and Daisy, and you understand that he's now in the final stages of cancer. Basically, the doctors have stopped treating him, and they're just trying to manage his pain at this point in his life. And we went out there because we really wanted to see Nietzsche, and we really wanted to just be with him, just love up on him a little bit. You know, we took some stuff with us, a whole box of stuff with us out there. We wanted to serve a little bit. And the thing about Nietzsche is, I mean, Nietzsche, Nietzsche was always a big, strong, I mean, he could lift a tractor. He's the kind of guy that when he shook your hand, you were like begging for mercy, you know, stop, okay, stop. But now he's in the final stages and his body's showing that. And when he walked around the corner, I wasn't ready to see Nietzsche looking the way that he does right now. And he's in constant pain. No matter what medication they give him, he's just constantly in pain. But as he sat there with us, and I appreciated this so much, it just shows his heart. He was constantly asking us questions about our kids, about our lives, about how we're doing. He kept looking at Daisy, and we kept trying to deflect it back to, we're doing great, Nietzsche, how are you? But he kept looking at Daisy. Daisy, make them that smoothie you make. She's from Ecuador. Make them that smoothie from your home country. And you would like that. And we were like, no, please, please. No, we don't want you to go to any trouble. And Nietzsche was like, no, Daisy, make it. We're like, please, please. You know, but then he said it the third time. And in the South, that's it, you know. In the South, it's actually part of our culture that we say no twice, but then the third time we have to say yes, okay? And so, no, don't really. Even if you really do want it, I'd love to have that drink, but no. And so the third time we were like, okay. And she went and she made the smoothie, and it was delicious. I mean, it had some citrus. It was sweet and sour and had all these fruit and flavor in it. I'm going to make you really hungry and thirsty right now if I keep on, so I'll stop. But Nietzsche just wanted to make sure that we were taken care of. And there he was in pain, really facing death, worried about us and our needs. And see, that's walking in the Spirit. That's walking in the Spirit of God, that you turn off your own needs to think about the needs of others. And that's just who Nietzsche is as a person. It's just who Daisy is as a person. And honestly, that's freedom in Christ. And that's freedom in the Spirit. So how are you doing with that? How are you doing just loving up on people around you, having great relationships with people around you? Jesus said people will know you by your love. And people should know us by our love for each other. So that's one thing, relationships. The second thing to maintain our walk in the Spirit is say no to the world. Say no to fleshly desires. You can see this in verses 16 and 17. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. Notice that, so that you are not to do whatever you want. Some people, that's how they define freedom. Freedom is doing whatever I want to do, whenever I want to do it. But that is not the biblical definition of freedom. The biblical definition of freedom is not doing whatever you want, doing what's right, doing what is loving, doing what brings happiness and joy to other people, which will bring it to you. And so we have to define freedom in the right way. I think in the States, so many people misdefine freedom. So they go out and they think, I'm going to do whatever I want, whenever I want, and that's freedom, and it ends up being a trap. Because that's what sin does, and that's what Satan does. You go out and you experience the world, and I will be free. Experience all these fleshly desires, and I'll be free. And you end up addicted to those things. And you end up in Satan's trap. And it's Satan's big lie that you're free to do whatever you want. No, in Christ, we're free not to do whatever we want, but to do what's right, to do what's loving, to do what's godly, to do what's most like Jesus, and to walk in the Spirit. And that's what we have to focus on. So don't fall into that trap. Say no to the world. Say no to your fleshly desires. Say no to the selfish things that you want to do. Instead, choose to follow Jesus. Our son and his wife, Daniel and Corinne, they just got a little puppy. They got a golden retriever puppy. And it's the cutest thing. It's about this tall, and it's just a ball of fur. And you get the puppy wet, the fur drops a little bit, and then about 10 minutes later, it's just a furry again. It just bounces right back. And it's the cutest little thing. But this puppy, for some reason, this puppy loves to go into places that are just too small for its body. It hasn't learned that it's growing. You know, she hasn't learned that. So she still tries to just crawl through these little narrow spots, even though her body's like this now. And I've seen her, and she'll stick her head in between two posts and a fence. You know, she'll stick her head in, and then she doesn't realize that once she gets her ears in, they're going to flap out. And so she'll try to pull out of that, of the fence, but her ears are stuck. And so then she's just like looking around like, what am I going to do now? I got in this, and I can't get out of it. But usually Daniel or Corinne, they're watching her, and they'll go over, and they'll push her ears down, and then they'll pull her head out. But then, 5 minutes later, same thing. Right back in that same trap. And it's cute for a puppy. It's not so cute for us. Because we do the same thing. You know, we get enticed by the world. We get enticed by our fleshly desires. And we think, well, let me just go and try that. And the next thing you know, you're stuck. You're stuck in addiction. And you're stuck turning your life over to what you thought was going to give you pleasure, and it's not pleasure anymore. And so you have to be careful about that. Freedom does not mean doing whatever we want to do. Freedom means at times doing what you don't want to do because it's the right thing to do. And we need to define freedom in the proper way. Define freedom the way the Bible talks about it. So in your own life, make sure that you're not walking into any traps. It talks here in the scripture about the trap of impurity. It talks about the trap of hatred or racism. The trap of fits of anger, fits of rage, the trap of selfish ambition and pride. And it also adds, and the like to that. Make sure that you're not walking into any of those traps. And then the third way to maintain your walk in the Spirit is by continuing to increase the fruit of the Spirit in your life. So it's not only the things you stay away from, but it's the things that you add to your life. And this is really important. Because sometimes we take things away, but we don't replace them with good things, and it just creates a vacuum, and the old bad things just come right back in. If you're getting bad things out of your life, replace them with good things in your life. And here specifically, Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And then I love what he writes right after that. Against such things, there is no law. In other words, you want to be free in something. You want to do something as much as you possibly can do it. This is the area. This is the area to do this whenever you want to do it. Because there's no law against these things. You can love as much as you can possibly love. You can experience joy in Christ as much as you possibly can experience. Because that's the freedom that we have. And it draws us closer to God when we do it that way. This is about walking in the Spirit. When you walk in the Spirit, you decide, I'm going to walk in love. I'm going to walk in joy. I'm going to walk in peace. I'm going to walk in self-control. And I'm going to have that shade of the Spirit around me all the time. You know, I'm a guy that loves shade. I keep checking to make sure that the sun's retreating behind me, not coming toward me. I love the shade. And I need the shade, actually. I was diagnosed with melanoma about 6 years ago. So I'm now over the five-year limit, which is a good thing, or the five-year marker, I should say. But I had surgery. They took the spot out. And that's all they said they needed to do for me. But still, I go to the dermatologist every 4 months. He always asks me, he says, so how are you doing staying out of the sun? And I tell him, I'm doing my best. Do you wear sunscreen? I do. What number sunscreen? I say, as high as I can find it. You know, at 60s, as high as I could find it. You give me 150, I'll put 150 on. You know, I just soak myself in it. But honestly, most days when I know I'm going to be out in the sun, I just put on long sleeves and I put on long pants because it saves on sunscreen. You know, I just have to put so much sunscreen on me. I just wear a big old hat, long sleeve shirt, and we went to the beach. You know, my wife loves the beach. God bless her. I'm not big on the beach, but I go. At times I go. I usually, they'll go out, you know, Chelsea and Corinne, Lee, they love the beach. They'll go out there. They'll be out there all day. Rob, Daniel and I, not so much. Well, not me, not at all. But I'll go out, and I'll sit under the umbrella, you know. And we went out on a shady day, and I was sitting under the umbrella with a long sleeve shirt, big old hat on my head, and I draped the blanket around me so they covered my legs, covered my feet. And honestly, the only thing that people could see was about right here. I had these big old sunglasses. They could see this right here. And I thought, you know, I'm looking really weird right now, but my dermatologist loves me. He's like, I'm his poster kid right now of how you should live in the shade. You know, and I do. I love the shade. And if it's sunny outside and there's a sliver of shade, I'll find it. Manhattan the other day, we were walking around. The only shade I could find was under the street signs. So, you know, do not park. And I was just hiding under the do not park sign, trying to get as under it as much as I can. But when you walk in the shade, you love the shade and it feels good. And that's how it is with the Spirit also. If you walk in the shade of the Spirit, it feels right. It feels good. There's no guilt about it. There's no, oh, am I going to get caught doing this? You know, am I going to get caught loving somebody? Well, no. You know, even if you are, that's like, amen, good. Oh, am I going to get caught having peace in my life right now? There's none of that. You don't have to second guess yourself. Oh, am I going to get caught showing self-control? You know, this guy's so angry at me and I'm just calm and self-control. Well, that's okay if you get caught exhibiting self-control because you're walking in the shade of the Spirit. You're walking in step with the Spirit. And that's a really, really good place to be. And so I encourage you to look in your life and make sure that the fruit of the Spirit is there. How are you doing with love, joy, peace, forbearance, which is, you know, patience, being patient with people, and also making good choices, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. How are you doing with those things? Are you walking in the shade of the Spirit? And I also encourage you, as you're walking with the Spirit, take some time every now and then just to look up and to see where you are. Because I think sometimes what happens is we can be so concerned with maintaining our step in the Spirit that we're just looking at where he's stepping. We're trying to make sure we're not making any mistakes. And we forget to look and see the goodness that's coming into our life and the blessings that God has given us. You know, we're trying to maintain our relationships. We're trying to say no to the world around us. We're trying to make sure that love is there and joy is there. And we get so focused on those things that we forget to look up and say, wow, look at what God has given me. Look at the salvation I have in Christ. Look at the family that he's given me. And then just enjoy the grand vista of what the Spirit has put in front of us. And it's important that you stop and you do that as you're walking with the Spirit. I mentioned last week, I like to go hiking, and right now I'm going up in the Ramapo State Forest area, and the trails up there are really rocky. I mean, there's lots of roots that are sticking up, rocks everywhere, and, you know, it's in Jersey, and it's just like everything else in Jersey. It's hard to travel. you know what I'm talking about, right? I don't know what it is about Jersey. They make the roads hard to travel. They make the trails hard to travel. Even the bike paths are hard to travel. No left turns. Go catch a U-turn down the road. You miss your turn. Next thing you know, you're in Philadelphia. You know Jersey. That's Jersey. And I was amazed that I'm like on these trails, and the trails are just as difficult. But the thing is, what happens is I get out on these trails, and there are many rocks, and there are many roots, and I'm so careful about not stepping on the rock and twisting my ankle, not stepping on the root and tripping. I'm so careful about doing all of that I forget to look up and experience, I'm in the woods right now. This is awesome. Look at these green leaves. Look at all this shade, you know? Oh, the beautiful shade. You know, look at that squirrel bouncing around over there. You climb up a hill and you're careful watching on the rocks and you forget at the top of the hill just to stop and look at the valley down below you. You just climbed up the top of that valley. Or the lookout that you just made it on top of. And you got to do that when you're walking in the Spirit. You got to take those moments just to bask in God's love. Take those moments to appreciate what God has given to you and what God has done for you. Take those moments to appreciate that you are walking in the Spirit, and He's taking you to a place that you could never go on your own. You could never find on your own, because this is the place the Spirit of God is taking you. Appreciate that and walk in His steps. So we have been given freedom by Christ, and we are free to walk in the Spirit. But walking in the Spirit and in the freedom of the Spirit has to be maintained. We maintain it by looking at our relationships and making sure that we're loving people around us. We maintain it by saying no to the world and no to our fleshly desires. And we maintain it by making sure that we are in the fruit of the Spirit, adding the fruit of the Spirit to our life. I encourage you this week to think about something that you can do to help maintain the spiritual freedom that you have in Christ. Maybe it has to do with relationships. Maybe it has to do with saying no to something. Maybe it has something to do with saying yes to part of the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Whatever it is, and it's different for all of us, make a decision today. This will be the week I walk in the Spirit. And as you're walking in the Spirit, look up. Look up and enjoy the scenery, because it's a beautiful thing to walk in the steps of God's Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Hudson Valley Region Podcast. For more information about our ministry or to attend a church service, please visit our website at hvregion.com.